It may be apocryphal, but we've stumbled across the anecdote from enough sources and in enough different places to satisfy any journalist's or historian's prickly conscience and ethical obligation. The late music critic Nat Hentoff first told us the story more than two decades ago when we were making a television series for public broadcasting on the history of jazz. Then, years later, working on this project, A History of Country Music, Marty Stewart, the unofficial historian and keeper of all things sacred about the music he loves, related the same tale to us. It seems that Charlie Parker, one of the great creative forces in jazz, and with Dizzy Gillespie, the inventor of the hugely complex, fast-paced, dazzlingly virtuosic variety of jazz called bebop, was between sets at one of the clubs he played at on 52nd Street in New York City in the late 1940s. Much to his fellow musicians' shock, they found him feeding nickels into the jukebox, playing country music songs. "Bird," they asked, using his famous nickname, "how can you play that music?" Parker replied, "Listen to the stories." For most of the last 40 years, we have made films solely about American history. We stated plainly when we were beginning our first film that we were uninterested in merely excavating the dry dates, facts, and events of American history. Instead, we were committed to pursuing an emotional archaeology, listening to the ghosts and echoes of an almost indescribably wise past. Eschewing nostalgia and sentimentality, the enemies of any good history, we have nevertheless been unafraid of exploring real emotion, the glue that makes the most complex of past events stick in our minds, but also in our hearts. We consciously chose not to retreat to the relative safety of the rational world, where 1 + 1 always equals 2. We are most interested in that improbable calculus, where 1 + 1 = 3. That, to us, is, in part, emotional archaeology. For at least 20 years, we have often quoted the late historian Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., who liked to say that we suffer today from too much pluribus and not enough unum. We have been all about unum for decades, extolling as much as possible a bottom-up version of our past as well as a top-down one, looking for ways to accentuate what we share in common, not what drives us apart, widening the scope of American history, not narrowing it. We wish to exclude no one's story at a time when our tribal instincts seem to promote so much disunion. We also began to see that our work and interests have always existed in the figurative space between the two-letter, lowercase plural pronoun us and the much larger uppercase abbreviation for our country, the U.S. There is a lot of room and feeling in there between us and U.S., the warmth and familiarity of the word us and also we and our, standing in contrast to the sheer majesty and breadth of the history of our United States. We have been mindful, too, of what the novelist Richard Powers wrote. The best arguments in the world won't change a person's mind. The only thing that can do that is a good story. It is with all those references and contexts in mind and in heart that we have, over the last several years, devoted so much of our creative energies to trying to understand country music, the art that tries to tell the stories of those who feel like their stories aren't being told. We could not have come to it a moment sooner, but we are also glad we did not start it a moment later. It is conventional wisdom, accepted by too many, that country music is somehow a lesser art form, a simple country cousin, literally, lacking the elegance and complexity of jazz, a suspect musical form which too often is easily relegated to the lower 40 of our cultural studies, bottomland, not befitting the scrutiny of sophisticates, and God forbid, scholars. Much to our delight, we have, over the last 8 years of working on an 8-part, 16.5-hour series for PBS on the history of country music, and now this companion volume, discover just the opposite. Country music turns out to be a surprisingly broad and inclusive art form that belies the narrow definition into which many have imprisoned it. The music's narrative arc offers a new and at times achingly personal perspective on our last turbulent century, its clarity and honesty a refreshing corrective to the recent corruptions of popular culture. It is the story, at heart, about so-called ordinary people who many times lifted themselves out of unbelievable poverty and hardship, and following an inner ambition or a dream, or with the help and kindness of others, shared their own stories, what Charlie Parker heard, in words so powerful and heartbreaking, and in music so plaintive and moving, that they have allowed the rest of us to dream our own dreams as well. And what they have left behind and continue to create is a legacy of emotion, authenticity, and simplicity unmatched in American music.